Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm the other Mark. 3 pints, Sally. And what are you having?
I'll have a baby sham.
Cheers. I'll fetch him over.
Evening, boys.
Evening.
Good.
Evening.
How are you doing?
All good.
Right.
How are you?
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Good. Before we start tonight,
yep.
A listener has sent us a present.
Oh, hi.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm intrigued. How strong is it?
Sent us a present.
Sent us a present. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. It's not them horrible sweets. I can tell
is
you
it
that.
Beer?
No, it's not beer either.
Is it money?
It better be good then.
This is from one of our younger listeners.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Is it a toy?
Aesthetic. So. When I say they've sent us a present, what I mean is they've sent Mark and other Mark a present.
You're joking?
I know, Rob.
Oh, that's good.
I have lodged my complaints.
You don't need to.
I'm excited.
And I did say that Rob is going to be devastated.
I am devastated.
So.
Change your name.
Yeah.
This is from Harriet, and she's made them herself.
Oh,
yeah, she's made them herself. And what she said was, when she loves the podcast, she calls herself our number one fan.
Okay.
And she says that we seem to get confused a lot when we're recording the podcast on which is Mark and which is the other Mark.
Well, that's true.
So she has made some hats for you guys.
Oh, okay.
Personalised hats. One that says Mark, one that says other Mark.
Oh, okay.
And they've got your pictures on the front and everything. There you go.
That's amazing.
These are fantastic. Look at this.
Do you know when you said
it. She's proper made it. Them?
When
you
said
picture on front and everything.
Yeah. When you said hats, I genuinely didn't think you meant
these.
An actual cap. They are literally like a cap.
It fits as well.
Mine's on.
Unbelievable.
They're brilliant, aren't they?
It's really good.
Harriet, these are amazing.
This even looks like me as well. She's drawn on.
Let me see you. Hang on.
Yep.
Look at that. It's brilliant.
These are fantastic. Thank you.
Oh,
what's
my gosh.
Name?
Harriet. Harriet.
Thank you, Harriet.
Just like you.
Thank
you. I can't believe quality.
Can you do matching T-shirts as well, Harriet?
Yeah.
This is brilliant, this.
These are great. It fits me perfectly.
I tell you what, I'm going to wear this at Kendall Calling.
Oh.
You've got to.
Yeah. I am.
I'll
be at a music festival this year with this on my head.
That is brilliant.
Mark my words. Look out for the photos. I love it. This is brilliant.
I can't believe how good it is.
They're great, aren't they?
Well done. You did a right good job of that.
I'm going to keep mine on for the entire day and night and week and month and year.
Well, like your underpants.
Yeah. Well, we'll make sure we get a picture of them. We'll put it on our socials so you guys can see. But absolutely fantastic job. But yes.
It's amazing. I love it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
I can tell you something now, Harriet. Rob is looking very, very, very disappointed.
I am. I'm a little bit upset, must admit.
Yeah, you
tell
don't
you
need
what,
one.
Cry your eyes, mate.
Yeah.
Dry your eyes, even.
Yeah.
I've got to tell you, last weekend, went away at Caravan again.
You're always weighing that bleeding wobble
right?
box.
You've got to
get your money's worth, aren't you? Yeah.
Absolutely. And we went a few weeks back.
Do you want to buy a dog?
I went to... from?
I'm not sure whether it's allowed, but you know, we'll keep it in.
I went to Lakeside, where we went to
Doncaster, yeah.
No, not that one.
Shopping centre.
No, it's a shopping centre.
Oh, well, a little bit of the Cadbury shop. Take the caravan every weekend.
In car park. I don't think
they're allowed.
Dog.
We're going to be along with this. Is going to be a long episode, isn't it?
I'm not explaining it, Rob. Carry on.
So we went away, and a series of events unfolded that just one of them things that you go, what are the chances?
You haven't parked at mid-Olympic Stadium, have you?
No, mate, no. And yeah, it was just one of the things where you think, what are the chances? Do you want to hear the story?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
That'd be a short episode, wouldn't it? No, thanks.
Well, settle in, because it's not a short one.
Settle in.
Right.
So we arrived on the Friday. And it on the first date was just me and Gemma. So that night we decided we were going to go for a meal. So we went to just outside the park. We went to a place called Gigi's. It's a little Italian. We'd gone to it before.
Horse meat.
Yeah.
I was waiting for that, you know. I was sat here thinking, here he comes.
And just us two went. Lovely little restaurant. Went the year before for my 40th. So we went in there, had a meal, and. In there, next to me was sat a couple, a young couple, probably aged like 17, 18 year old. They're only young. And then behind them were an older couple, mid 50s. And did you ever do that where you like make assumptions about people before you even know them or before you've even met them?
You mean judging a book by the cover?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
What we're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And it wasn't in a bad way at all. I just, you know, got a preconceived idea that this guy might be a bit like Joe Rogan sort of thing. Turns out he was more like Seth Rogan. But anyway, we're eating his meal, blah, blah, blah. And when we finished, we went and sat in the entrance part. The guy who owns the restaurant said, well, it's like a little lobby area, if you like. Oh, nice, you can sit down and have a drink. And the guy who owns it said, would you like a drink? It's on the house. I was like, absolutely. He's like, go and sit in front and I'll bring it to you. Yeah. Well, he ended up getting me a single malt whiskey. Got Gemma a glass of Prosecco. I was like, this is brilliant. He said, I'll have one with you. He said, but I can't drink it in main restaurant because obviously it doesn't look good. So he comes back and we're drinking whiskey and Gemma's got Prosecco. Anyway, it turns out this couple that was sat behind us, the older couple, they paid for the entire meal of the younger couple in front of them.
All
right. That was nice, weren't it?
Yeah. Okay.
And I didn't know anything about it until they ended up coming to sit with us or sit in the lobby area.
Who did?
The older couple.
Okay, yeah.
And just before they'd come and sat down, this young couple were leaving and you could see how excited they were, bless them, arm in arm, walking out, and I could hear her going, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. It's amazing. And up to that point, we didn't know what had happened, so we then
did
it
you not
got
pay for yours then, Rob?
No.
No, no, unfortunately not.
No hat. Not paying for his meal. Yeah. Not doing very well, this Rob, is it?
So when they sat down, we got chatting, and I said to him, like, I said, what, that was really nice what you just did. What made you do that? And he just said, well, we've got kids similar age to them. And he said, I would have loved it if someone would do that for our kids. And also, we started dating. They were there for their anniversary. We started dating round about the age they were. And also thought, it'd be nice if someone did that for us. And he said, and there's enough crap going on in the world. And I just thought, do you know what? It'd be nice to pay for their meal. We'd have been paying for our kids if they were here. Let's pay for their meal. They paid for the entire thing.
Oh, lovely.
That's nice.
How nice
isn't it?
Is that?
Yeah, lovely. Really nice.
Turns out, they're from Rotherham.
Oh, right, okay.
Wow. Yeah, Kimberworth of all places.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. They lived, and what made even funnier, they lived bang opposite my auntie and uncle and my nieces, my cousins and my nieces.
Wow. Yeah.
So they even knew them. I like small world, and they were staying on the same caravan site.
Wow!
So we ended up leaving there, going to pub next door.
Yeah, I bet you were following them round. Yeah, hoping you're here for your drinks and your food all weekend. Yeah,
got your number.
We got absolutely bladdered and stumbling back to the site with him. Anyway, the next day, Alt Restit family arrived, and just after lunch, me and Johnny went to the
lunch.
Pub on site.
Dinner,
lunch. Oh, here we go, lunch or dinner, and football were on. So gets in there and the names were Mick and Kelly and they were in bar at the same time. So I went over and said hello and they were sat with some friends. Now these friends were friends from the site, they weren't friends from back home. And I'm chatting with Mick and all of a sudden one of the guys in this group says, what time's your mum and Rach coming? I was like, what? how does he know mum and Rach? Turns out
I bet you answered him first, didn't you? You were like, about half past. Hang on a minute.
Exactly that. I'm thinking, this is weird. Turns out he lives three doors up from my mum.
Really?
Yeah, he'd even helped Rachel with
and
caravan.
And you didn't know this guy before?
No, really? I've never met him. I don't even know he knew me.
Okay.
But he did, and he'd dealt
this
Rachel.
This is waiting to be made into a Netflix documentary or something, isn't it?
Wait to see the rest of it. He'd helped mum and Rachel with caravan get it in position because they've got someone coming to clean it. Anyway. So that was first thing. Second thing, really. Then we get back to caravan, and it turns out there's a couple, or not a couple, two families behind us that knew Gemma's mum. Gemma's mum used to be their son's nursery teacher. So we ended up having a conversation with them, and while we were talking, a voice to the right of me went, Rob? Turns round, it's one at PT's from my gym I go to. I was like, Kai, what
somebody
are you doing
else
here?
You.
He went, oh, that's my mum and dad. I was like, Chuffy, now what are chances of that? So then the one of the guys from the other family pulls me to one side and said, Rob, am I right in thinking that you were the first on scene to a fatal car accident about 2 years ago?
Oh, that's that one that you drove past, isn't it, on your way home?
Yeah, yeah. Do you know about this, Mark?
No.
So, all right, I'll just rewind then. So 2 years ago, around Christmas time, I'd just been to Meadow Hall after work, and on my way back, it was about 10 o'clock at night, I was driving down one of the back country lanes near where I live, and I was basically the first on scene at a really bad car accident.
Wow.
And I rang police and did everything. And it ended up being there was a fatality.
Oh, wow. What
so in this moment, this guy's asking me if I was involved, if I was first on scene. I said, yeah. And he said, well, the son of one of the people involved in the car accident is actually dating our daughter, and he's here today. Wow. Would you, if he wanted to, would you mind speaking to him?
Wow.
And I said, no, not at all. If he would like to speak to me, I've got no problem with that. So we ended up 15 minutes later sat in a caravan having a heart-to-heart conversation about what had happened.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, crazy.
What's the chances?
I know. That, just on top of everything else as well.
Yeah. Right. You're expecting Michael Aspel to come walking out with a big red book, aren't you?
Yeah.
For those who don't know who Michael Aspel is, he's like the new... Well, he was the old version of like Michael McIntyre.
Yeah. Yeah.
Michael McIntyre, what I've seen.
Yeah. Well, he does like surprise things, doesn't he?
Oh,
maybe not comedic.
I, for a minute, then I'm thinking, I can't remember him ever doing This Is Your Life.
but he does those surprise things.
It would be great, though. That would be a good programme, that, to bring back and Michael
let
McIntyre.
Him do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rob.
Yeah,
sorry.
All right. Yeah, back to you, Rob. Sorry.
So by this point now, it's pretty much evening, right? Everyone's gone to the club, so I join them all at club, and you know, bingo,
black lace.
Yeah,
I can do.
Are you DJ, Mark? Is that why you mentioned it?
So we're playing bingo. You know, nuts are out, crisps are out, beer's flowing.
Your nuts are out.
Yeah. And bear in mind, up to this point, every single person I met were all from Rotherham. I was like, what a chance of this.
Really?
So I sat there.
I thought the roads were quiet.
Yeah.
Act walks on stage and says, hello, I'm Nicola from Rotherham. Oh. I'm like, oh my gosh, the entire weekend. Just walking around meeting people from Rotherham. Got to the point where you almost want to walk up to the next person and go, hey, are you from Rotherham?
Yeah.
Are you from Rotherham?
Well, this caravan site sponsored by Aldi.
Yeah.
But it got me thinking. Obviously, this happened in the space of a weekend. It got me thinking about those times when you say, what are the chances? Coincidences. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it made me think, have you ever heard of the seven laws of separation? Or seven degrees of separation?
7 degrees of separation.
I'm guessing you've heard of it.
Yeah.
Have you heard of it?
No.
So basically, the idea is that everybody is connected by... seven hops or seven
hops.
Well, you know, seven
connections.
Yeah,
seven I'm never too far away from a hop. That's one thing
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah. Seven degrees of separation.
Either a hop or the long jump.
Seven or six.
Well,
seven.
Well,
hang on.
Seven, but there is a six, and the six is seven. Seven.
Minus one.
It's just one less than seven.
The other one is 6 degrees from
separation.
Kevin. 6 degrees from Kevin Bacon. That one is for Hollywood.
Yeah.
So that's any actor in Hollywood is only 6 degrees from Kevin Bacon.
And have you read about Three Steps to Heaven?
Steps to Heaven. Let me just stop you there. I'll carry on with Mox. He's doing karaoke. So the seven and the six, but the six only applies to Kevin Bacon.
Right, the six is meant to be a bit, it's more meant to be a bit of a funny twist on the 7 degrees of separation. The actual famous... theory is the 7 degrees of separation, which means that anyone on the planet is only seven connections away from anybody else. Anybody.
Okay.
Now, obviously, the thing is with that is the connections can be quite tenuous. Do you get what I mean?
Absolutely.
But I mean, there's literally, I've seen a guy on TikTok, and he does that. You send in like a famous person or whatever. And he shows out his 7 degrees of separation to that person.
Yeah.
And you know, and he's made a whole TikTok thing.
Well, it's actually a thing.
I'm actually quite closely. I'm linked to a famous person.
Yeah.
Although it's not someone to be proud of.
The king?
No, it's not someone to be proud of.
Oh, right. Okay.
Are you going to tell us or?
Yeah.
Would you like me to?
Yeah.
Love to.
Daniela Westbrook.
I thought you said famous.
Well, she has been, for all the wrong reasons. She's not that bad.
Yeah, but to solidify, I suppose, what Rob's saying, because you've now said that,
yeah,
and you have a connection to Daniela Westbrook,
yeah,
think about the amount of people that she has a connection with. Or has had a connection with in life, right?
Local drug dealer.
Which then means, yeah, nurse surgeon. But the what you're saying is then you're only two connections away.
Four.
You're four connections away from Daniela Westbrook. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Which means now you're only five connections away from anyone that Daniela Westbrook's ever met.
Oh yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So
and anyone
most
that,
cast
and anyone
EastEnders.
That they've then met. Is the next link on with that. So, for instance, let's try one. So, Mark.
Yeah, me.
Right, yeah, you.
Right.
So
this will be interesting.
Think of a person. we should really think of a person.
Right, okay.
think of a person that we can see if Mark can get a link to.
Oh, I know we can get Mark a link to. Tutankhamun.
That'd only be one, wouldn't it?
He's easy. One link. He with my dad. Job done. Next person.
Well, we've mentioned him before. Michael McIntyre.
Right, Michael McIntyre.
McIntyre, right?
See if you can work out how you could be possibly linked to Michael McIntyre.
Well, he's not even got the same surname. So that's not even going to work, is it?
I don't mean, work like that.
I don't know him. But
how could you be linked to him? How could you find a link?
Remember, you're not looking for a direct link.
I watched him on telly.
That don't count.
You're looking for steps. So you're looking for someone.
Steps. H. Yeah. Are you related to H?
5, 6, 7, 8
I told you this. I told you this was going to be interesting.
Right. Listen. I'll give you a help.
So am I related to H through Michael Madsen?
Right. Listen. What's stop?
Yeah.
Right. I'll help you out. So.
Oh, here we go.
You know, my Uncle Dean.
Okay.
Uncle Dean is on TV. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you think of.
He knows Michael McIntyre, there you go.
I don't think he does know him, but what I do know is that Dean was at the BAFTAs a few years ago. I'm cheap trying to cough here. And at the BAFTAs, he was sat on the same table as Graham Norton. Mm-hmm. So Graham Norton may have come in contact with Michael McIntyre.
Almost certainly. They both work on BBC, don't they?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So... there you would have got to Michael McIntyre. How many would that have been?
Well, so Mark's a Dean, because Mark knows Dean.
Yeah.
As long as Dean... Listen, just for accuracy...
This is tenuous, by the way.
Yeah, as long as Dean, like, had a connection with Graham Norton and not just...
He was sat on the same table as him.
Yeah, yeah. So if he spoke to him and had a connection to him, then there you go. So you've got Dean 1, Graham Norton 2, Michael 3 degrees. Right. Separation.
Three steps to heaven.
So that's how I get to Michael, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if I don't know Dean? How do I get to him?
Well, you'd know Rob.
You know me.
All right, okay. What if I don't know Rob? I don't know anyone.
Well, that kind of flaws the whole thing if you don't...
If I sit in my house all day in my pants and know nobody, then what?
Facebook and Twitter actually did a test to see how accurate this was through their platforms, because obviously they can see how
stealing
people
data.
Are related.
Like family trees.
Let me get that tinfoil hat on.
Yeah.
And they actually found that it was as close as 3.8 hops. That's where I got the word hops from. 3.8 hops to get to
That'd
the next
interesting
person.
Brew. Mm.
So it obviously does work.
So what's the Kevin Bacon thing? Why is
it's
he
just
any...
the same thing, but smaller.
I once had a phone on AE.
There you go.
Here we go. One hop.
I know Kevin Bacon.
Job done.
From this, it then started to make me think. I started thinking more about coincidences. And I remembered one that I heard quite a few years ago. And I think you'll know this, Mark.
Oh, right, okay. Well,
something that Mark knows.
Somewhere. Yeah.
It's not about a film, obviously.
Certainly not.
It's not a film.
So basically, and you might have heard it, but it goes like this.
This is not a riddle, is it? Is this a riddle?
No. Right. It's not meant to be.
I'll relax then.
It's not meant to be. So a car repairman, right, he was out on call in the middle of nowhere. I don't know if that's an actual place, nowhere, or whether he was just somewhere he didn't know where he was. But we'll call him Simon, right? So okay. Simon... middle of nowhere, he's walking back to his truck, walks past the phone box, and the phone starts ringing.
Was it the pie man?
A public phone box.
Yeah, it's quite a few years back.
In the middle of nowhere, this phone box.
Yeah. So he goes and answers it, right? And the caller, we'll call her Sandra. She says, Simon, you've got a really busy day tomorrow, and starts talking about his appointments for the next day.
Yeah.
So Simon's confused, obviously. He recognises the voice, it's his secretary. Sandra, the secretary.
And a lot of S's in this.
I know. So he asks her, how on earth she knew that he was at that phone box? And she says, well, I haven't. I've called you on your new mobile.
Yeah.
So he explains to her that, you know, she hadn't called him on his mobile. She's called him on a phone box in the middle of nowhere that he just happened to be walking past. She insisted, no, I've called your new mobile phone number. But then she realised what she'd done. She'd accidentally dialed his payroll number, which she'd written down on the same piece of paper as his new mobile phone number. So the payroll number was basically the same number as the phone box that he just happened to be walking past at that moment in the middle of nowhere.
How many bloody employees have they got?
That's a rape payroll number, that, isn't it?
No.
I do remember that. In fact, it's true. It's a true story. I remember reading the news.
I mean... Yeah. You say it's a true story. I have no idea if it is or not.
Yeah, I know about
but
it.
But I remember when I heard it thinking, wow, that is a coincidence. That's mental, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's mind-blowing. It's absolutely mind-blowing.
I mean, all it needs now is for someone to message us and say, oh,
that was me.
I know they are, and he is called Simon and she's called Sandra.
Yeah.
That would be even more of a coincidence, isn't it? But then,
there are 27 million employees.
Me being me, I obviously did more research and looked into more coincidences, which I'll go into in a minute. But have any of you ever had any coincidences like that? Are there moments where you say, what are the chances?
Yes.
Have you?
Mm.
Tell me.
I can't think of any. I have had them. You put me on the spot. I have had them, though. Because you'd be like, what's the chances on that?
Yeah. I think it would be safe to say, Rob, without you know, passing off your comment, because it's hard to think of them. Do you know what I mean? But there'll absolutely be times in everybody's life where something's happened and you go, what are the chances?
Yeah.
Or what a coincidence or whatever. I think it also comes down to a bigger conversation, though.
Go on.
Of whether you believe in coincidence or not.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I've had a coincidence. It was a couple of weeks ago with Euros. Aina, my wife, put some numbers on Euros.
Yeah.
And we didn't win it, by the way, so don't get too excited. We're not going on holiday. We're not doing it. But literally.
On holiday. We just won 140 million.
we're not
going to skeggy foot week.
But literally, the numbers we put on and the numbers that came out was one number either above or below it.
Wow.
So, for example, I mean, I've got the card, the slip here that we put on. So we put on numbers 14. And then the number that came out were 15. We put on 17. Number came out were 18. We put on 26. It were 27. We put on 30. It were 31. 39. It were 38. I can't see that with my glasses. Oh yeah. And then the lucky star things were 5. It were 4. And we put 6. And it was 7.
Jesus,
so we were just
Christ.
One off either
wow.
way.
Everyone.
Well, I did actually. I'll definitely come back to what you said in a minute. Cause it does make sense what you're saying. Literally. About a couple of months ago, we were going to a different campsite, and I'd put the destination on the actual sat nav, because we've got a special sat nav for caravan, so it routes you down places you can actually go.
And that takes all the fun out of it.
I know, right?
I'm going to show you somewhere down the roads that I've been when I should have had one of those sat navs.
Well, it couldn't find the exact location. So I said, it's fine. We'll just put the postcode of where we're going, and then you can always look on your phone if you want to go more detailed. So we're driving to this place. Gemma puts this postcode in of the exact location, but it starts taking us right off track. And I'm saying to Gemma, this is way off here. Anyway, a bit further that road. She says, right, it's here on right-hand side. And I'm saying, Gemma, it's nowhere near where the other sat-nav says we're even meant to be going. Just as we got to the turning that it says it should have been, we looked at right, and it were a caravan site. Just at the same time, Gemma looked on her phone and went, oh, yeah, you're right, I've put wrong postcode in. She'd literally put the last letter was the wrong postcode
and
letter.
Still found a caravan
and it was
site.
In that location was a site. Gemma, it wasn't a very nice site, by all means. We both went a sigh of relief and went, thank goodness it's not that one.
Wow, so Gemma put wrong postcode in. It's not like Gemma
wrong.
To do that.
I know, but she did.
Wow, bless her.
Which Rob reminds her about every week.
I'll do the sat nav.
But what you're saying, Kirk, is a fair point, actually.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, the thing is it opens up a wider question on do you believe in coincidence or do you believe in fate?
Mm.
Because, you know, there are some people, or a lot of people, in all fairness, people around this table that say it quite often, that they go, they say everything happens for a reason. You know,
I'm one of them people.
Now, if you believe that everything happens for a reason, then there's more of a link there that to say that you more believe in fate. So in other words, that if everything happens for a reason, it's because you're on a path, you're on a journey to you know, it's already kind of mapped out for you, you know, and therefore there is no such thing as coincidence, because everything that happens happens for a reason.
Right,
so coincidence doesn't exist.
Okay,
So therefore, you know, round this table, what would you say then? Would you say that you were more a believer in coincidence or fate?
Me?
Yeah.
I think everything happens for a reason.
Okay.
But at the same time, I also think that I can...
But also...
Well, this is it. I don't know where I stand with it, because I do believe in fate. I think things happen for a reason. But I also feel that I'm in control of my destiny. Or is it Dentisay?
If you like Back to the Future, it's definitely Density. But,
yeah. So,
were you Lionel Richie?
So where does that leave me? Does that mean I believe in fate? I mean, I do believe in fate, but I also think that you control what you do. In fact, you know, if I go outside and walk into the street, I mean, I might get knocked down. But that's my decision to walk out in the streets.
Yeah. But is it your decision?
Well, it costs his.
Well, this is the thing. This is, you know, you will have a lot of people that say that if you believe in fate, if you believe that everything happens for a reason, then you've got to give up the sentiment, the thought process that anything is free will.
No.
I think you control what you want to do in life.
Absolutely. It's the things around
it. But I believe in fate as well, so I don't know. I'll
over
to you guys.
It almost feels like both can happen, but
that's exactly what it is. You can't have something. You can't be free-spirited, because how could you say that I can't pick that cup up? Well, I've just picked it up.
Well, absolutely, but did you choose to pick that cup up?
Or was it meant to be?
Or was it always meant to be that you were going to pick that cup up?
How are we going to know?
I decided to pick it up.
You think you did.
To make an example. No, because we're recording this, and I made an example that I was going to pick this cup up.
Yeah.
So that was a conscious decision that I made. Yeah. And now I'm going to put it down.
But if we'd not started...
I could just throw it.
But if we'd not started... watch your TV, everybody.
Oh, now this is controversial. What shall I do with this cup?
But rewind. If we'd not been talking about this topic...
Can't do that. You'll change the course of history.
Yeah. If we weren't talking about this topic, then you wouldn't have picked that cup up.
Correct.
Okay. So everything
that fate?
That's,
is that fate?
So everything that's happened beforehand, led to you picking that cup up.
Yeah, but I could have picked the phone up instead.
You could have, but you didn't.
I know,
and now
you have. Yeah.
But you've only picked that phone up to prove a point because you picked the cup up.
What shall I pick up next, then, the phone or the cup?
Well,
shall I pick some up? What's happening?
You either believe in fate, that thing is always, so something is meant to be, or you believe in free will and free choice and everything happens by accident.
But no.
You can't agree with both.
I believe
it's impossible. It's impossible. Because what you're saying is some things are fate.
Yeah, but for example, if you die, your time's up,
Yeah.
But at the same time, I could walk in. If I walk out now and walk into the street, I'll get knocked down and I could die.
You could.
But I have control over that.
No, because if you believe...
Of course I do.
No, oh my God.
Well, you don't have control over walking into the road and been hit by a bus. Oh, wait, you could have control over that, but...
What do you mean I don't have a control? I'm not going to do it, am I? But I could.
Listen, I'm not saying one's right and one's wrong. What I'm saying is you can't have a thought process of both.
But why not? Why can't you?
Because if you say that everything happens for a reason, then what you're saying is everything is being controlled around you. Mm. Everything's already written, or everything's already... the outcome is already there.
No.
Okay.
I'll pass it over to Mark.
I feel like I'm still trying to wrap my head around
it. Yeah, you're keeping
going,
quiet.
How do I merge these together? There's
a saying out there that says you meet your own luck.
Okay.
You put yourself into enough positive situations and you have the right thought process, you will create your own luck.
Like manifestation.
To some extent.
Is that the right word? Manifestation?
But you're putting yourself in situations where you almost become a magnet for certain things to happen around you.
Okay.
Those things will happen. Mm-hmm. You can't control. You're not going to go and make that happen directly, but you're putting yourself in that situation.
Yeah.
That's free will.
Absolutely, I agree.
You can sit in that corner there and not do anything, and then none of the positive stuff out there would necessarily happen. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't go out and play a lottery, you're not going to win.
Yeah.
You go out and sell. You know, you go out and put yourself in situations. Then you're creating the chance
of something happening.
I suppose lottery is probably a bad example because that is luck.
So this fate and being in control. So where do you stand with it then? Where do you think it's all fate? Is that right? Okay. Is that what you're saying?
My honest answer to it is I don't know.
Oh, okay.
And I know that's almost sounds like a get out of jail free card. I don't know because I like.
No, it's a good one. When I
think about the chances of something happening, okay. When I think about right down from good things to bad things. All right, the odds of winning the lottery are astronomical. All right, you think about it. You've been in a casino, we've all been in a casino around the table, so we all know roulette.
Yeah.
Winning the lottery is almost like going into a casino, putting your number on one number. Okay.
Yeah.
So we know that the odds are massive for that one number. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's 30?
39 is it? 39 to 1.
No.
Oh, 36.
36.
36. 36 to 1. Yeah.
So they're not that massive.
Well,
No, but more than the 50-50 chance of red or black.
I know where you go. I know what you're saying.
So 36 to 1 on a number, yeah? So it's almost like you're putting your money on that number and it coming in and you're going brilliant. And then moving that to another number, spinning again and it coming in again.
Yeah.
Moving that to another number, spinning it and it land on it again. Moving that to another number, 7 times in a row.
I never thought of it like that.
Right. Now, if somebody said to you, go into a casino and do that, what are your chances of winning? You'd go, no way I'm doing that.
Yeah.
No way I'm doing that. That's never going to happen. But yet, that's what you do. That's what you need to happen, a sequence of events to happen to win the lottery. But yet people still, we still play the lottery every week because the chance that it might happen.
Yeah.
But the odds are absolutely astronomical.
Yeah, would it?
The odds from a mathematical point of view, you are more likely to be struck by lightning 3 times in a row than you are of winning the jackpot on the lottery.
Well, that is about my luck, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, lottery make 2 millionaires, guaranteed 2 millionaires every week.
Yeah.
So where's all these people getting struck by lightning? Because I don't know anybody getting struck by lightning. I mean, yeah, Dave in Scotland's got struck, you know, because there's a storm. But everybody's winning lottery. I get what you're saying with odds, but
I'd struggle if you said to me going to a casino and bet on black or red and me getting it right 7 times in a row.
Yeah,
even that's slim. Yeah. But yeah, to get one of the numbers right 7 times in a row.
So then that just brings me back to that thought process of, are these people that are winning the lottery? Because like Mark said, there are people that win it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to get into the realms of 2 winners every week because then that brings into the raffle and a raffle's different to a lottery. So let's just say the jackpot of winning the lottery, but some people do win it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So therefore, I do think to myself, is that luck? Is that chance? Or were they always destined to win it? Because even when you then take it to the other end of the extreme of people that have died in a car accident, for instance, if they'd have set off a minute later, if they'd have drove 2 mile an hour faster, 2 mile an hour slower, if that traffic light had been on green instead of red, or red instead of green, all these things that would have to come together for that situation to happen, it's really hard to get your head around that all that has been by chance, that all that has been by luck. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So therefore, I do tend to sit there and go, I think there is an element of fate. I think there's an element of that was always meant to happen.
Yeah.
Absolutely there is. When I were looking to retrain and I were going for jobs that I was absolutely, in my opinion, nailed on for. They were, you know, in retail, my background, retail management, and I thought, do you know what? This is mine, this. And none of them were landing and I was like, what's going off here? And then all of a sudden, find this vacancy for a job that I've got no experience in, that they're not interested in having experience in. What they want in is somebody with customer service management skills, IT skills that they could train and take what they already know and put them into a completely different industry. Yeah. Had one of those other things come in that were, as I would have thought, odds on that I would have got, which none of them did, I ended up landing a position that I never thought I would have even dreamt that I would have gone for in a different industry. And here I am.
Yeah.
And I couldn't be happier.
Yeah.
And so, Helen kept saying to me, throughout all that process, everything happens for a reason. It weren't meant to be. If had I have got that, I'd have been working whatever hours through at night and shifts and whatever else and weekends and this, that and the others, you know, and I'm not. I've got a perfect home life balance with work and stuff and I can't argue with it.
Yeah,
you know?
I think if I was to give an answer, I'd say that I do lean more towards fate, definitely.
Yeah. But I do think you've got to put yourself in positions for that to take place, definitely. But I do think there's an element that it is just occurring.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There are some people out there that would say that depend on that we have got free will as people. That's what makes us human beings, and that we have free will, and that the choices that we do make puts us onto a specific path. So therefore, there's several paths that you could take in your life, or hundreds of paths that you could take in your life. Mm. And the decisions that you make at certain points puts you on an inevitable path of that path. So I suppose that's a little bit of both, isn't it?
Yeah.
That you've still got the free will, you've still got the choice, but you've still got that choice that will take you to a specific outcome.
Yeah.
Definitely. But, I mean, that's the thing for me, that whole... you know, you mentioned it earlier, Rob, about manifesting. That's something a little bit different.
Right.
Because manifesting is basically saying, again, that the universe will provide.
Yeah, you're asking the universe to provide something.
So what you're saying is that if you manifest something enough, the universe will provide it.
Okay.
But the universe only provides stuff that you need, not that you want.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's about manifesting the need. Trust me, I think about winning the lottery every single night, and it ain't come yet.
Anyway, you got any more coincidences?
So the whole one about the car mechanic, yeah. I knew it, but I couldn't quite remember it, so I had to research it a bit. And when I did, I stumbled across a few more.
Is it a true story?
I don't know if it's a true.
The chances of you bringing up coincidences. He's just been talking about them.
Well, everything happens for a reason.
It's fate.
Why don't you pick that cup up again?
It did say it was a true story, but again, I don't really know.
I've read it in news.
It could be said for all of these as well. Although, first one, right?
Yeah.
I'd say this is pretty much nailed on. So, National Geographic reports that your odds of being killed by a meteor are 1 in 1,600,000. So the odds would seem infinitesimally?
Is that a word?
Small? That's what it says. Infinitesimally small that a meteor...
Infinitely small.
Well, I thought that, but it said infinitesimally small.
Yeah, they've obviously...
I don't know.
Is this on Facebook, Rob?
Same as Rob, I think it's actually a typo, because I think it's 1.6 billion.
Oh, it might be. There might be an extra zero.
And there ought to be a lot more zeros if it's going to be infinitely small.
But anyway,
yeah,
infinitesimally small that a meteor which had been flying through space for more than 4.5 billion years without hitting a target. How did they know it's been travelling for 4.5 billion years?
Does it play for England?
It's been travelling for more than 4.5 billion years without hitting a target, would hit the home of a family with the last name Comet.
Brilliant.
Wow.
Brilliant.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, again, is it true? Do you reckon it's true?
I don't know.
I can't think of why anyone would have the reason to make that up.
It's on the internet, so it must be true.
Well, exactly.
On the internet, it's true.
Another one. So author Robert Morgan penned The Wreck of the Titan or Futility in 1898, 14 years before their Titanic would meet its end. And there are some uncanny similarities between the fictional novella... Oh, another one. Is that novel or novella? Oh, it is novella. I know this, actually. A novella is not the length of a novel, but more like a short story. I did know that.
Oh, really?
Well done, Rob. Thanks for that.
Yeah, a little token of
short
information
story, okay.
For you.
I thought you were an ice cream.
Just one novella. So, there are some uncanny similarities between the fictional novella and the actual events that took place. Beyond the coincidences of the ship's names both been described as unsinkable, it's reported that both the fictional Titan and the Titanic...
Were they both in water?
Yep.
When they sank?
Ran into trouble after hitting icebergs on the starboard side of the ship. They were both 400 miles off Newfoundland when they sank, both on April nights, and in both cases, the passengers suffered tragically due to a shortage of lifeboats.
Oh.
And that's an actual book, so that's definitely true.
He's to blame.
Yeah. Sounds more like a conspiracy to me.
It does, actually, yeah. And I'll give you one more.
Please do.
So, in 1858, a man named Robert Fallon was shot dead while playing poker because he cheated. He won $600, which was now deemed unlucky, so no one wanted it. They gave it to a new player who took Fallon's place. He turned the $600 into $2,200.
And they shot him as well?
When the police arrived, they demanded the original $600 be passed on to Fallon's next of kin, only to discover that his son was in fact the new player who had not seen his father in 7 years.
Wow.
All right, okay.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, again...
Proper gangsters,
is
that.
It true or is it not? It makes for a great story, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. It does.
So, it does.
I hope you enjoyed them.
Please.
Is it time for another game? It's time for the winner.
Here we go.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, it's spinning.
What's it going to be?
Oh, I'm just so excited.
Come on.
He's nearly there.
The Wheel of Features.
So first off, we've got What the Bloody Hell Is That to sort out.
Oh, yeah, we've still got that going off, haven't we? Yeah.
Well, actually, someone's got it right.
Oh, thank
God.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. So, James Mitchell... has put, he made a first guess, which was a match being struck. Well, that wasn't right. Oh, okay. But he then sent a second one, and it was a toaster.
Oh,
Okay.
Yeah, it was a toaster. We'll play it again, just so they can hear it.
Like popping up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Here it is. So, yeah. Once you've heard it,
you know. I want to know, James, have you been going around your kitchen pressing everything?
Yeah.
Just to see what you can emulate the sound.
Yeah.
Well, well done, James.
Yeah, and then also, it's over to you, Mark, for Kazoo's Song Is It Anyway?
Oh, yeah, we've got the answer from last week.
I have absolutely no idea what this is. I did get it. Yeah, it was Richard's. I didn't have a clue.
Yeah, Richard's, right.
Yes, I did know this, but...
Shall we play it again?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, I do know what it is.
Yeah, by who though? Is it? Don't matter. It could be by that band, or it could be by that artist, couldn't it?
Well, go on then, Mark. You guess it then. Go for it.
Well, it's either by The Who, or it's by Elton John.
Which song?
What's the song?
Pinball Wizard.
That's what I got.
But which artist is it?
I don't think it matters on a kazoo.
Mark's looking confused.
Is it right, Mark?
Yes, it's correct.
Hey, well done. Yeah. 21 at home.
They got it right.
Yeah, they didn't write in. You know, you can have guesses, you know.
It does write in, PO box.
Send it on a carrier pigeon.
Right, let's get this wheel spun for this week then.
Yes. Yep. Right, do you want to do the honours, Mark?
Well, I've got to get up.
Do you want me to get up and do it?
No, I'll do it.
I'll do it if you want me to.
Go on then.
Do you want me to literally get up?
Can
and
I get one of those chairs that you see advertised on telly where you press remote and it lifts you up?
Lifts you up.
Just spin the wheel.
Spin the wheel, okay. Mark.
Here we go then.
Oh, what is it this week?
Oh, lucky torch.
What is it? Hey! What is it?
Fact dump.
Oh, that's mine!
What did you call him?
I have to make sure I get the scene. Fact dump.
Either way it works, it's mine.
But yeah, it's yours. We've not done this one before.
No, we haven't. So this is some random pointless facts.
They won't be pointless to me. I love them.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it depends what it is.
You'll love these, Mark. Okay. You'll love them. But things that can get in your brain and you'll know forever and have no point in them whatsoever. So did you know that during World War II, British soldiers tried to fool German pilots by painting cows to look like zebras?
Really?
Yeah, they did. Don't ask me why.
I can see it on your face.
Well, why? I have no idea.
So is this when they're flying over Britain, they're going, well, that's not Britain because there's zebras.
Zebras, it must be.
Let's fly off somewhere else.
Yeah, it must be.
All those crossings. We took a wrong turn here.
We're in Africa.
Another one. Penguins can projectile poo up to 4 feet away.
I've done that a couple of times.
and I do know the reason why.
Oh, go on.
Apparently it's to keep their nest areas clean.
Well, absolutely.
So do you want another one?
Just fly over somewhere else.
Well, that's just lazy. Why don't they walk?
I have to.
Because they can't walk that very fast, can they?
Waddle to toilet.
So, you can have a guess on this one. How many hearts do you think an octopus has?
Oh, I think I know this.
Oh, go on.
Is it six or seven?
No.
It's either three or five.
Okay.
Seven's the match.
What are you going with?
Three.
Well done. So an octopus has...
Hang on. I've got his legs mixed up.
I was going to say that's legs.
So an octopus has three hearts. And how many brains?
Oh.
Oh, it has...
More than one brain?
I'm not going to say seven again. I'm going to say...
Greedy, isn't it?
Does it have two brains?
It's got eight legs.
Yeah.
It's got a lot going on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a partridge.
It has nine brains.
Nine?
Oh, that's what I'm getting mixed up with, his brains.
I reckon
Steve Martin's had something to do with this.
Yeah, so does that mean it's incredibly clever?
I've no idea. I've never met one. No one that's alive anyway.
Tiny, tiny brains, so it's, you know.
How long do you think is the longest recorded bout of constant
hiccups.
I thought you were going to say diarrhea then.
Yeah, talking all this.
Oh no, no, hang on, I'm getting that confused with sneezing. There were a girl in UK, this is back in '80s, that were sneezing non-stop, but we're not talking about sneezing, are we?
We're not.
No,
we're talking about hiccups.
No, completely irrelevant.
That's a bit wasted, that fact.
How long?
How hiccups? Long? The longest bout of constant hiccups.
I'm going to say about 10 years.
10 no, years? But, anybody else?
What? Yeah. That was ridiculous.
Listen, this girl that was sneezing, she sneezed for about 12 years.
And you know what they say after 7 sneezes, don't you?
What? No.
Oh, we're not going there.
Bless you.
We're not going there. No.
Bless you 7 times.
No. No. The listeners will know. Let's just leave it at that.
Longest bout of hiccups.
I'm going to go with something
like... He's
going to
say about 2 hours or something. Like.
I'm going to go with a week.
A week, okay.
Yeah, I would have said exactly the same, a week. Yeah.
68 years.
Boom! I'm the closest! I'm in closest!
I thought when Rob just said that about... So, yeah, Charles Osborne had the longest recorded bout of hiccups, 68 years. So imagine hiccuping through the Great Depression, World War II, and the entire Beatles era.
I'll tell you what, it would have been a Great Depression if you'd have had hiccups all the way through it.
I know.
We'd actually live with that. That's so...
Absolutely.
Did no one tell her to hold her breath? And drink at the same time?
Or stand on your head?
So, did you know that in New York, it's illegal to carry an ice cream cone in your pocket on a Sunday?
Yeah.
I knew that's
a joke. Apparently in New York, it's illegal.
So obviously they made that law, I'm presuming, a long time ago, but why? Was it a problem?
Apparently, it was a way to steal horses back in the day.
What?
So they had ice cream cones in your pockets.
Yeah, well, there you go.
How small are the horses?
There you go.
I mean, my initial instinct was you don't have an ice cream cone with a sundae.
No, on a sundae.
I know, but all I kept thinking was...
You could have a sundae with an ice cream cone on top of it.
Last one.
Oh,
last
one. These are great.
In 2001, the Russian Space Agency accepted $1 million to deliver a pizza to the International Space Station.
Wow.
Wow.
What were it, Domino's?
That's that's true.
Well. It's not a quiz.
Thanks for confirming.
Not a quiz. Yeah, in all fairness, this fact does go on to say Domino's delivery radius Domino's delivery radius is out of this world. But there you go. There's some fact dumps for you.
I love it, Kurt.
Well done.
Love that, Kurt.
Well done.
Hey, I've got a quick fact for you.
Oh. Go on.
I had a Domino's the other day.
Oh, the first time!
First time ever!
What did you eat?
Wow, right, nice.
What did you have?
Hang on a minute.
I can't remember. I'd had a few pints.
It was that good.
I think it were a spicy one. And it were like the texture of the base were like a bit like sandpaper.
That's what they're like, because they covered them in...
It's like a... Yeah, is it like a
yellowy...
I always said they cover it in salmonella.
Semolina.
Semolina.
It's like sand.
They're absolutely perfectly cooked.
Am I missing some air? Have you never heard of Domino's or something? Has he talked about this in a podcast?
Yes. He has, Mark, yes.
I forgot.
Maybe you should go back and listen to all our podcasts.
Well, perhaps I should.
I didn't even turn up.
I didn't even...
When you say we should go back and listen to them all, as if he's already listened to them.
Yeah.
I didn't realise you'd not had a Domino's before.
Go back to episode 4 and say he's got some edits.
Yeah. On that fine note.
Absolutely. See you later, boys.
See you later, boys.
Bye.
Hang on, don't press stop yet. It's me, Mark, not Rob. I've got to tell you guys, we want you to do us a big favour. We want you to cast a vote for us for the British Podcast Awards and the Listener Choice Awards. You can find all the details on our socials and all the links are there. We'd really appreciate it if you could just take 2 minutes to do it for us, because we'd really appreciate it. So just do that for us and for the rest of the lads. Thanks.